preparing to enter into the third parak of Arsa Torah, but we've been learning a little bit of Nafsha Chaim since what Rav Kook is saying is rooted very deeply in the fourth shar of Nafsha Chaim, which is the Yisoid of Torah Lishma, together with all of this from HaKadosh and the Zohar Kaddish, the Tikkun and the Kisvei, which Rav Kook was called the Torah Kula. But in order to understand better where Rav Kook was coming from and what we have already gone through in the first two Prakim, and in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be seeing more throughout the Sefer. We learned in the fourth Shah, we learned Perek Yud Aleph. Now, I hope you have the page from Nefesh Chaim. I think I gave it last week. Yeah, Nefesh Chaim, it says Perek Chafei. But just to finish a little bit, it's a very short little parak. And as we've been learning, as we learned last week, that Reb Chaim Volozhiner is really bringing down Chazals and Zoyers, talking about the hashpa of Limud HaTorah, the great influence of Limud HaTorah over all of the Olamos, over all of creation, which was what we were learning about in the Arsa Torah, that relationship between the Torah and the world, the Torah that is learned Lishma, which attaches that person to the Sharish of Knesset Yisrael, and Yimela, the entire Bria, all of creation, is affected by that Limud HaTorah. This is what we're seeing in the Nefesh HaChaim. So let's just finish Perek Chafei, and then we'll start Perek Gimel in Arsa Torah. So on the photostated page, Nefesh HaChaim, on the left side, on the bottom, is Perek Chafei. V'chol zeh. Really, one needs to learn the entire Shar Dalet, but at least a taste of it. V'chol zeh kishadayin yesh anoshim Yisrael, shedivekim b'yizborach u'b'sarosei b'in v'shkeda v'yigia g'day l'lishma. He says that Kshadain, as long as there are Jews who are still Dveikim, attached to Hashem and to His Torah, and learn with great intensity, V'yigia, and work very hard and learn Torah Lishma, V'rak b'teres Hashem cheftzam kol hayomim, and these are people who are filled with a longing and a desire to learn Hashem's Baruch's Torah. He says a few little strong words over here. You have to take them to heart, but not to let it, kill you. So it says, which doesn't chalil apply to any of us. Those people are totally bottled from learning. Those people are not learning Torah at all. Because of their poor choice. Hema Yerdu Sha'ol Chaim. While they're alive, it's an expression that means to go to a bad place, but while they're alive, they're descending into the darkest place, into a place of not being alive. In other words, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, having told us that the entire life of the world and all worlds depends on Limud HaTorah, those who are on the program, obviously he knows that many people have to work and they can't learn Torah all day. He understands that. In Reb Chaim's time, there were much, much fewer people in the circle of Orthodox Jews who were able to sit and learn all day. There were very few. But there was always an elite corps of soldiers, like we're learning about this morning, soldiers learning Torah day and night, and other Jews who were learning every day, okay, they eat them every day learning. So the worlds are kept alive. All worlds are kept alive and breathing because of that Limud HaTorah. Then you have individuals who made the poor choice or are making the poor choice and who are bottled from learning, who are not learning Torah at all. They're not learning. These people, Hem Yeredu Sha'ol Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner is explaining, is not only are they missing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the which is the greatest of the mitzvahs, not only are they missing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which would for them personally bring so much bracha into their lives on so many levels, but they're also holding back, they're withholding light and life from all creation. So in Reb Chaim's way of thinking, which is Pnimius HaTorah, there's a rishus in that learning. It's not just you haven't kept one of the mitzvahs. You're withholding life from the world. There are plants, there are people, there are angels, there are planets, that are all waiting for their air. They're waiting for their oxygen. They're waiting for life. And it's being withheld from them. And the only ones who could provide the universe from the highest malach, from the highest world, down to the tiniest little ant. But the only one who could provide the world with its sustenance, with its life, are Yidden who are learning Torah. That's how Hashem's Baruch made the world. And it's not a kasher, so Hashem, why can't you do it in a different... That's how Hashem's Baruch made the world. That's what we've been learning. That's how Hashem's Baruch made the world. And it doesn't mean you have to be a lamdan, a talmud chacham, or a genius. You learn Torah. You put aside time for learning Torah according to how much you can learn. And you just... But it does depend on working hard. Whatever you're doing, you work hard at it. You work hard at it. This doesn't mean to buy the latest, you know, Torah Pearls book, one of those books, you know, that has 4 pages of stories on Parshas Vayetze or something. It's nice. It's beautiful. But that's not it. You're not Yotzer with that. You know, forget about holding up worlds. You know, if you're holding up a microbe with those little books, or you subscribe to a website that sends Divrei Torah to you, and if it could send it into your brain without you having to read it, you'd pay even more money, right? You wouldn't have to do anything. You just go and you put your head on the computer and you press a button and it zaps you, and then you come to the table. Vayetze Yaakov, Miben Shava. There's a Klei Yaakov, beautiful Klei Yaakov. It'd be wonderful. You have to even work at all. Just put it right into your head. They're going to make things like that. I'm sure there are smart people, there are geniuses sitting in places and laboratories trying to figure out how to do stuff like that. And that was Pashas Vayetze. Not yet. That, we always get to that stuff later. But the thing about how to put stuff into a person's head, that he shouldn't have to work at all. Shouldn't have to work at all. You and I know that whatever was science fiction when we were growing up is already lamaisa. So, because the kids we were talking the other day at the table, so they talk, you know, about how I can't figure out how so much stuff can go into one of these little machines. I can't figure it out. I mean, I can't figure out a light bulb either. But when the MP, the guys would tell me you could put thousands, not MP, the iPod, you could put thousands of hours. And I'm trying to figure out, like, where does it go? How does it go in there? Thousands of hours. We used to have a million, you remember the cassettes? Gedenks? Cassettes, boxes, and I still have in the garage, I have shiurim from Tzadikim, from, you know, to cassettes. How could such a thing be? So the kids were asking, the kids were saying that it can't get more advanced than this. So I also say I don't see how, but I guess when people, like when looking at the wheel and everyone's going, ooh, wow, they're probably thinking, this is it. You know, we've maxed out the wheel. Can't get better than that. You have a wheel, we don't have to schlep. This is great. So people are thinking about how everything that they're making now in the world is how to take away from people work. It's understandable. My wife and I had this ongoing thing, because I'm like, I don't know if you remember, there's an old poem, Minovich Chivi. My wife always calls me Minovich Chivi, because I always, since I'm little, I'm always dreaming about, like, being in the old days. I'm not happy in the world like this. I always wanted to be, like, in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, you know. First, when I was younger, I wanted to be, like, in the time of Tanakh, but then it looked like it was too scary. There was a lot of wars going on. So I decided it'd be better to be, like, by the Bedichva and things like that. My wife always says, life was horrible. She says, yeah, you're a big knacker. You like to have your soda. You like to have air conditioning. You know, So don't delude yourself. You're not, you wouldn't be like working with a, you wouldn't like to milk a cow or work on the farm. You know, this is not. So she says, well, you know, you think because everything. So I always say, but it's so beautiful. Life is so simple. And I could live that way, you know. And there was the pashtas. And some of my friends says, life was miserable. There was disease. And there were people, mothers were dying in childbirth every day. And they have no crazy life. And, you know, because I'm trying to draw my history out of the Kedushas Levi, you understand? That's my source of history, the Kedushas Levi. But the truth is that life was pretty horrible, the conditions of life. But you know that the Pnimius was shining in a certain way, but the outside sewer of life. So everything's to take away the hardships of life. All the machines are to make life better, to make life easier. Torah, the whole yesod of Torah is hard work. That's what Torah, all of Torah depends on hardships, not, God forbid, sickness or panos, but hard work. And we're living in a time where everything is only to take away hard work. It's such a steer. If you think about it, everything is to take away that I shouldn't have to work. Everything that I shouldn't have to, I don't have to think. It used to be, at least when we were growing up, you had to write a paper, so you go to the library, so you had to. First of all, for us just to go to the Jamaica Library was a little bit mysterious now. For sure. It was dangerous to go to the. I was once beaten up over there between two shelves. I was beaten up over there by, there was a couple of guys from the neighborhood that they didn't like my yarmulke, and they kept on knocking it off, and then I went to get it, and then this one pushed me down. They didn't do anything, God forbid, to kill me, but they beat me up pretty good, right in the library. But it was mysterious nefesh. You know, you came back, at least you came back with a couple of bruises, but you had your term paper, and you felt proud that you worked for it. Now you sit, somebody, they have to write on something, a chreis, on this war, the war Russia, he presses the button, puts it in, and he starts to look here and look there, and it's to take away all your gear, all hard work, that a person shouldn't have to think, he shouldn't have to work. And all of Torah depends on your gear, even if it's an hour a day, whatever it is. That's what's holding up all the idleness. That's what's holding up all the worlds. So, Reb Chaim is saying, these people in their are, he says, Yerdu Sha'ol Chaim, they go down while alive into the darkness. Sha'ol means Gehenna, means hell, but they're going into the darkness while they're alive. We're not talking about a punishment after a person leaves this world. Umugarosh Mistapech Benachlis Avde Hashem, he's speaking about while you're alive. They are these people who don't want to learn, who have betayin l'mitzvah, aside from the fact that they're not getting the mitzvah. He says, "Megurashim." They are to be megurish means expelled, to be kicked out. Mistapech from a pasuk, mistapech benachlis avdei Hashem. They're not part of the circle of avdei Hashem, of Jews who are avdei Hashem. You're not an eved Hashem if you don't learn. You're not an eved Hashem if you don't learn. You're not an eved Hashem. Again, you're on your level. Doesn't mean you're not an Eved Hashem if you're not a Vilna Gaon. On your level. You don't struggle over a Gemara, Rashi, Tosafos. You don't struggle over a Pasuk with a Mefarsh. Whatever it is, each person on his level. On her level, obviously, it's different. Torah Shebuch Sav, Torah Shebuch Peh, of course. But if a person is not Miyageya, so he's not part of you. He's not part of the world of Avdei Hashem. He's outside. And he's a nice person, keeps Shabbos. The Kabbalah is not talking about people who are on Mechali Shabbos. Too much. Everybody hears Shem Shabbos. Everybody here davens every day. You're not talking about, God forbid, Jews who are not keeping mitzvahs. But he says, but the truth is, L'garoshim istapech benachlas avdei Hashem adhukim b'yish baruch b'sarosa. Avdei Hashem, an eved of Hashem, is somebody who's dovuk to the Torah Hashem, who's bound and attached and in love with Torah Hashem. What?
Isn't there a difference though between somebody who's not in the environment of learning and somebody who just, it's easier for them to learn? I mean, the fact that we happen to have a beautiful library, you know, Sfarim here, there's no mesiras nefesh in order for us to have to, we don't have to go looking for somebody who has a sefer.
Right.
That doesn't mean that their learning is
oh, chalila.
So the same idea with the library, the fact that you're able to go on the computer and do your research without mesiras nefesh, but you still have to learn the material well enough for you to write.
No, I was only saying that we're being conditioned to be lazy. There's nothing wrong with. There's no reason that you have to go to the library to get the book.
Laziness would be somebody who steals somebody else's paper, not somebody else.
Yeah, that's become a lot easier too.
Not somebody who goes to the computer and does research that way. It's just another form of doing. Your parents didn't have a library to go to. They had to go find somebody who had books.
Right.
You happen to have the library, so they look at what you had as being so much easier and not good.
Yeah, probably.
So probably. But it's not true.
I hear Binyamish. I understand, and certainly, and you could say, like, why do you have to have any? Even when you get to the library, don't have any card. At least to have the drawers of the card index. Don't have any of this cards. Like, work. You know, go look for the book, and then what about? And then you ask the librarian. So where's the history section? Oh, we want you. Winston Churchill.
So you spent more time looking for the book. It'd be better, of course, if you found the book faster.
But I agree 100%. You save time,
right.
but you pay a price for that. Mm-hmm. The price that you're paying is not you're gaining a lot of time, and because of that, things can be much more efficient, and you can get the work done. But I'm not talking about getting the work done. You're right. I mean, it's not that there's a lot more that perhaps that's being accomplished nowadays than schlepping to the library and looking for the book than was in the old days. However. As far as the integrity of a hardworking person, as far as the nature of a human being is concerned, okay, we could argue like this, like that, doesn't make a difference. There is something to be said for even for the mysterious nefesh that seems to us now to be like a total waste of time. It can make life easier. Why do I have to schlep around doing so many things if I could just get to the information with the press of a button? It's true. And it's more productive in that respect. But as far, I'm talking about the quality of a human being, the nature of a human being. Is it, and if you have a person beyond banished that he gets a Yerusha, he's lucky. He had rich parents. The parents had 120, they left the world, and they left this guy with a velt. They left him the Yerusha. He doesn't have to go here, doesn't have to go there. Would we say that that's better? And he's a serious guy. Would we say that that's better? Certainly. He doesn't have to go, like everybody else has to, schlepping, to get money. So he has it. But as far as the condition of him as a human being, is there something to be said for getting on the train and for going and for doing? Yes. Is there something about Yerushas that can ruin people? Yes. Yes.
I don't disagree with that, but I would consider that completely different from person who has a better job doesn't have to work as hard to make the same money to get. You continue with.
There's always a price that a person
pays.
But if
you have somebody who's a hardworking, who's imbued with the idea of hard work, the fact that they don't have to spend that much time making up for nothing.
That's
they put their hard work.
Then I guess we're not arguing. Then that's the key. If a person is imbued with a spirit of hard work, then it's fine. Then I think we agree. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that if a person has an atiyah, let's say, not to being such a hard worker.
The whole idea of having to have to work harder to find the book doesn't necessarily, you're still a hardworking person. That doesn't
work. It's the siyata d'shmaya of the effort.
There's also, right, there's also siyata that comes with the person
and
making an effort. Okay, I think we understand. It depends on the madrega of that person, where that person is.
Looking forward for the idea of somebody having to look at index cards to find the book, as opposed to being able to find it easily. It's,
but that's why I was giving that as a much. I'm not suggesting that that's a good thing. I'm only talking about what happens to people when things come easily, when it's a person who's not filled with that spirit.
Lazy, it's not a good thing.
Okay, so then people will very. It's very for a person who already has natias to laziness. There are many chachkalach now that for that person. Is not good. For the hardworking person, it's a mechaya, because that hardworking person doesn't have to waste his time on Arishkei with index cards and running. But for the person who has strong natias not to be hardworking, it plays into the worst. This is Chayav Shel Talmidim. It plays into all of his underdeveloped midas. I think we agree that that's not really. It depends on the person, of course. I'm only talking about when it comes to Yigiyas HaTorah, so that's the big question, of course, and the big fight that came when Gemaras were being translated and the whole tumult over whether, you know, whether art scholars, they were the biggest tzaddikim when they made the Gemara, or they did the biggest aveira when they made the Gemara. So the vast majority of Klal Yisrael felt that it was a tzidkus. It's a tzidkus. There were others that said it's a rishus. Now, for the hard-working person who's going to work over the Gemara and care about the sugya and break himself to understand the Gemara, it's a tzidkus. There's no one answer. For the person who now can say, "Hey, I can make you see him on Yevamis in a month, because I took speed reading." In English when I was a kid. So I could read now Yevamis in English. For that person, it's a rishus. Not a rishus. It's a klal. It's like everything in life. I give you a bracha and I give you a klal. How you use it, okay, to say that, that's up to you. That's up to a person. I'm only saying that for the person who's not in the right place, these things that make life a lot easier are not necessarily a bracha. For the person who is in the right place, it's a bracha. It's the same thing with the internet. For those people who use it purely for parnosa in a healthy way and for whatever information, I don't know, then it's a bracha. For the people who are using it for wasting time and worse, so then it's a klal. And it plays into the worst habits of a person, chalila. It's like that with everything. But the ikar is to have people who are not frightened by hard work. I think it's fair to say that on the whole, that is harder to find now than in the old days. When people went to work 15, 16 hours, that personality, you and I, and all of us know people like that, Baruch Hashem, that personality is not frightened by a hard piece of Gemara either. But the boy who grew up as the prince in his little palace, wherever that palace was, whether it's in the Five Towns or Flatbush, Muncie, Monroe, Yerushalayim, or Bnei Brak, whatever it is. But that little boy who grew up as a prince, who didn't have to work hard, not in Gashmis, and not even in Ruchnis. Even the Ruchnis came easy to him. Even the Ruchnis, I don't mean the Ruchnis in Avayda, I meant to have a sukkah, to have a minion. That's why I haven't hid the fact over the years, you know, that I'm not happy about these minion factories that go until 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, where a person can roll out of bed wherever, whatever, and daven shachris. I'm not happy about that. It looks sweet. It looks sweet that Jews have such, like we imagine that we took over the whole world because we have a few blocks in Borough Park. So look at this, what we've accomplished, that we have minyanim. You can go anytime, walk in. Again, for the hardworking person who has a schedule and he needs, and it's good for him to have a minion at 6:45 or whatever it is, for him to have that minion, that's gewaldig. But for the guy who just wants to be able to still feel good that he goes to shul and not have to worry about the yegia of what the clock says or having to deal with such ridiculous things like a schedule, so for that person, it ruins him. Right, so you can go to our neighborhoods where you didn't live, and you can see somebody walking around like in a dream, holding his talus big at 11:45. Like, you ever see that? You're like in a dream. Now, we're not talking about the question of Samadhi, you understand, when they were working from 4 in the morning, and the davening finally would take place, you know, like at 10 o'clock, if the hours of Achanis, or by label of Eger or something. We're talking about, like a life. Walking around, they're not moving fast either. You ever see? Just like with their look, holding the talus big at 11:45. Just like, I want to scream out the window, Yid, come in the car. Where are you going to want to go? I'll give you a lift someplace. Go. What are you doing? It's like walking around, like with his talus, 11:45.
It all goes to the idea of incentive.
Yeah.
Nobody has a problem getting up at 4 in the morning today on Black Friday.
After Thanksgiving, Yisruchad. Such a name, Black Friday. They call it that? They call it that because then everybody's supposed to be in the black, not in the red. That's what it is. That's you're supposed to make a lot of money. The stores are supposed to be able to shift from being in the red to being in the black. So they call it Black Friday.
Everybody else is in the red, though.
Yeah. They became black and everybody else became red. No. Let's go back to that. Let's go back. I'm sorry, Nisim. Let's go back. These people are excluded from the circle of Avdei Hashem. And it's not an exclusive circle. The Torah is Munachas Bekaren Zavis. Chazal said the Torah is sitting and waiting. The Torah is waiting. And the Torah is saying, here I am. I'm yours. Here I am. And it's never been so easy. Here I am, the Torah says. You don't have to go. We don't have to go schlepping to some. We don't have to go walking to find a yeshiva in some town because 100 miles away. Torah is everywhere, surrounded. You don't have to even, like we said before, you don't have to go for a safe. You don't have to go. I'm here. It's not an exclusive. It's not the Baruch Hashem trying to make an exclusive circle of learned Dei HaTorah. Rabbi Chaim's not talking about this thing. Avdei Hashem, are people of Torah. Again, whatever you can, but not a life, and not a, there's no Jewish life without Torah. And these people, therefore, are megoroshim esteberach menachas avdei Hashem devukim esberach b'saroso me'eretz chayim yikareisu chas v'shalom, and they're cut off from the land of life. Val kol panim ha'olam, gam kol ha'olam is, and this world and all worlds. Hagam kinis ma'atu v'yardu mekedushasam v'ayram. All worlds are being demoted. The strength of existence is diminished, is decreased. And the holiness and the light of the world and all worlds becomes dimmer. V'siba sechatoim ha'elu v'nafsha yisam, because of these who are sinning with their souls by not learning. The kemat shenatoyu radlom lecharev chasoshon kemat, the world, he says, is in such a state that the legs are so shaky that the world itself could, God forbid, be destroyed. Kamei shekosu b'tanu devel yo. Omru chacham kol zman shebenei odem mevatom en atayra. It says in the Tanu Eliyahu, we learn this from Elyonovi, that kol zman shebnei adam mevatlam ha'Torah, that if people are mevatlam, again, mevatlam is a general word. Mevatlam means neglecting, mevatlam, each person according to what he could do. Obviously, some people are able to learn for many, many hours a day, for a little bit, whatever. But kol zman shebnei adam mevatlam ha'Torah, mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachrif ha'Olam. It's a scary sentence. That if people mevatlam ha'Torah, mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kivyochol, is mevake. It's like he's looking chas v'shalom to destroy the world. L'hachriv v'shalom, it says in the Tanu Eliyahu. So it doesn't mean that Hashem is going to blow up the world. It means that Hashem made the world in such a way that as long as we're learning, and each of us are trying as hard as we can to learn, then we're replenishing the energy. We're giving the energy to the world. And if we're not that Hashem is going to go and take a sword and cut up the world. But mevakesh, which means that's how Hashem's Baruch made the world. That if we're not doing that, then the light and the life of the world grow dim, and creation is in such a state of weakness. And that doesn't mean necessarily that the world is destroyed, but it means the weakness in creation is that, God forbid, sickness and sorrows and divorces and opanasa and all different things that go wrong in the world. Visham besed el yozuta ki lashem mitzuke eretz vayoshes aleihem teva. The strong ones of the world belong to Hashem. Mitzuke eretz, the powerful ones. The solid means solid. Vayoshes aleihem teva, and Hashem places all of the universe, all of creation upon them. Who are these people? Vein mitzukim, so it says, over there in the Sefer Yozut, it says, Vein mitzukim, elo tamidei chachamim. Ein mitzukim, elo tamidei chachamim. Even though when you look at the Talmud Chacham, he might be somebody that's old and frail, and he might not look like a person who could even lift up a toothpick, but these are the mitzukim, these are the strong ones. These are the powerful ones who are holding up the world. Says in the Medrash that every day there are malachim, destructive angels. Malachi chabola, that They go out and they're looking for ways to mess up the world. Lechavel, like they say now in modern Hebrew, is what? Mechablim. Mechablim means terrorists. So they have these angels / terrorists that are let loose into the world, and they're going around looking for what they can cause problems. Lechabel es kol ha'ilam kulay. Lilmole batek nesiyas batim midrashas. And if not for the shuls, and if not for the batim midrashas, for the bismedrashim, shetamid hachacham yoishvin behen v'oiskim b'divei Torah. If not for the batim midrashim, that where the Tamir Chama is sitting and they're learning Torah, Hoyu Machabim is called Olam Kulo Miyad. Says they would be able, these angels would be able to destroy the world immediately. If not for the Tamir Chama who are sitting in the Batim Midrashim, the world would be unprotected, and the world could be destroyed. This is the truth. In Kolza. Nevertheless, Adayin Yuchlu L'Hiskayim, all worlds can continue to exist. Ayidei Hasridim Asher Hashem Kareh, to those few who are left, who still hear Hashem calling, who still hear the call of Hashem, who still hear Hashem calling, Ha'oiskim Etorah HaKadosha Yom V'Laila. These are the strongest ones of the world. Again, everybody learns as much as they can, but especially the Tamir Chacham Ha'oiskim, the Torah Kedusha Yom V'Laila, who day and night are learning Torah. Shlo Yizbatlu Lagamrei Lachshel Torah V'Vav Chas Hashem, that prevent the world, God forbid, from returning to a state of Tohu V'Vav of emptiness. Avlim Ha'yeh Chas Hashem Olam Ponim Lagamrei. But if God forbid, now this is very famous what he says here. If God forbid, this wasn't happening in the world, and we didn't have these fortresses of Tyre, we didn't have the fortresses, the defense line, the soldiers who are learning, and if God forbid, at any time, even for a second, as we spoke about last week, in all of the world, there was nobody that was learning. I feel a rega echad mamish, even if it would be for an instant, that the world was empty of learning. Me'esek his bainless Am Skula B'Torah Kedosha, if the Am Skula, if the holy Jewish people, if there were no Jews that are sitting and learning at any time, at any given moment, nowhere in the world there was nobody learning. Tekev Kirega Hayukala Ilmas Necharavim, in a split second, all worlds would be destroyed. Again, not that Hashem is going and blowing them up. They're unplugged. The plug is out. No one's breaking the machine. The plug is, it's not plugged in. It's not broken. It's not plugged in. I told you once, I had, when we were first married, so we had this, we got in Sears, this a vacuum cleaner. So we come home, and my wife tells me to put it together, which is a problem. I'll just leave it like that. But if you ask my wife, she'll tell you many interesting stories. So I thought it wasn't going. I put the pieces and everything, and I plug it in. It's gaitnish. So of course, I write about I'm starting that. How could they give her a brand new vacuum cleaner? It's broken. What can I say? Somehow they do such a thing. All of it. So they have a store that Sears. They have a place where they have a repair. You can go there to the store. So my sister says, I'll take you to the place. It's not far from here somewhere. So I, at least then. So I went to the store, and I have to wait in line, and I'm standing with the vacuum cleaner. I'm all, what kind of place is this? You give a broken vacuum cleaner, a brand new vacuum cleaner, it doesn't work. So I'm standing there, and then I give it to the guy, and I say, just got this. Here's the receipt. Doesn't work. No, I'm very confident. I want to get my new vacuum cleaner. So he goes and he shows me on the side. He says, "Did you see this? There's on the side of the thing. There's a plug. You know, on the vacuum cleaner to the top part, to the bottom part. Sometimes you got to do that plug thing.
An extension.
Yeah, on the vacuum there's this plug, not just into the wall. Yeah, to connect it. So he said, "Did you plug that in? So I never did. I didn't see that thing at all. I didn't look at it. It's on the back of. I didn't look on the back. There's a So I got, you know, I said, oh, no, I didn't see that thing. So he plugged it in, and he put it into the room, and he was like, vacuum up the whole store with it. So then he said, and I think it was nice, he said, this is what he said. He said, I thought your people were supposed to be so smart. So I said to him, the menial stuff we leave up to you guys. I'm reading, but I leave this stuff to you. You guys are good at this. That was our little exchange. It was good natured, but you know, not 100% from either side. So good. But I did tell my wife, don't ever tell her that. I said there was a technical problem. The guy worked on it. It was a big job, and he worked on it. But we have the vacuum. It's okay. I never told her.
They didn't charge.
No, he didn't charge me. I never told her it was just the thing that goes in there. So if it's not plugged in, it's awkwardness. It doesn't work.
Debbie, she knows.
Well, if I would have given it to her, she was busy with the children. She would have done that. Yeah, because she happens to be very handy.
She read the instructions.
And the instructions, I never read the instructions. So it's not the Debrei Shalom. It's not that he's saying that the Debrei Shalom is going to go and going to destroy the world. It's that the world's not plugged in. If for a second, God forbid, that there's no limit of terror in the world, it means it's not plugged in. And you could look at it and try to figure out what's wrong with the world. What's wrong? Why is the world falling apart? Why is there so much misery and suffering and sickness? Why? And he asks all this, and it's not. The world is not plugged in. Akasha, how the Baruch Shalom made it? Why did he make it in such a way? That's not Akasha. Not for now. But it's not plugged in. And if it's not plugged in, this Abednish. That's all. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. How does it begin to not work? In different ways. It's not working in different ways. In different ways. Hashem Yerachim. Hashem Yishmerenu. There are different ways. When the world is weak and the light is not strong, what happens in the world? And there was a time not so long ago when even Jews who were not religious appreciated it, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, with the famous Israeli general, that he wanted the guys to be in yeshiva. And even Ben Gurion, who in many ways, you know, was so much against, not against Yiddishkeit, but he was against Limud HaTorah and so on. He was from the old world, and even though he himself was a Mechal Shabbos, Eichel Ves and Treifus and everything, but he understood that the world somehow needs Jews sitting and learning. He had such a musik because he came from that world, and there was a musik. He happened to love learning, but it was he didn't learn with Hashem or the Yarmulke, but he had such a musik that Limud HaTorah, the Jewish people, somehow. There have to be guys in yeshiva. There was such a musik. So Rabbi Chaim says, he says, take of kirega. You call olmos nechrov v'nivtolim imitzias l'gam chasron. Or in a second, everything would disappear. Vav gam yishachem yisrael avad. And now, don't. So everybody's thinking, okay, it's a good thing that I know that there are other people. It's not me. So I'm glad to know that the world's not depending on me, and there are other people, that there are Talmidei Chacham in the yeshivas, and about the midrashim, Baruch Hashem, and that I'm fine, I just sit back and take my next sip of coffee while reading the New York Times, feeling very, very good, that right now, there are people in Australia, and in England, and in Eretz Yisrael, and in America, there are people in South America, all of that are learning, and I'm okay, so I'm going to continue with my article in the New York Times, right? So he says, "V'af gam ish echad yisrael levad." Even one single Jew, Rav Koichai, one single Jew, Gvaldige Koiches, Rav Koichai, tremendous strength. One Jew has. Shebiyodol Ahamad lekayimus kol ha'olamus v'abriya b'chol. That one Jew, because that means if there's one Jew in the world that's still learning, the world is upheld. It means the one Jew has such koiches. If we knew. With an extra word, with an extra Mishnah, with an extra Tosis, with an extra Pasuk, if we knew, and if it was shown to us that this child is better, this thing, this Parnassah, this Shalom Bais, this part of creation, this Malach is feeling better this morning, you know? If we would see it, we have to believe such a thing. One person. It says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan says he protects the whole world. One person could be holding back all kinds of gzeiros and all kinds of tsaros. One person could be keeping that mechabel, that terrorist, from seeing the person pass by in the car, and one single little Jew learning. Again, that's not why we learn. It's a, like Rav Kook said, it's part of the Inyan of Limud HaTorah to know, and we need to know, not to scare us, but to understand the Yakris, how precious Torah is, and what it does. V'chein isa b'perek haTorah, in Pirkei Avos, kol ha'isik b'Torah l'shma, lo yo'id ela shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hu lo. Kol ha'olam kulo. One person who sits and learns Torah l'shma, kol ha'olam kulo, the whole world is kedai, just for this guy. It's kedai. Like remember I told you years ago, I read an article. I told you a few times that there was a Breslov chassid that was going around in Russia. Russia's huge, and there's like some mountain. He was going to look for Jews in tiny little villages. You have these villages in Russia, Ad Hayam, they're living like from 200 years ago, and they have their, the whole village is 25, 30 people. And this Breslover wanted to, he heard of, and he found that there are Yidden here and there. They're living like in these places. And he wanted to go to Chazik them or whatever. So I read an article that this Breslover went to some Darful some place, a tiny little place. And what would he do when he would come to a place? He would ask the guy over there, you know, if there are any Jews over here. And no Jews. And he came someplace and said in the article that they told him that there was an old guy that said, a Russian that said, there's a Jew over here. He's not even in the village. He's like, you know, something outside the village. And they told him, you go there, there's a Jew over there. So the rest of us said, He comes over there, and he knocks on the door, this shack, and he knocks on the door, and he says, he opens up the door with a white beard and pears. He opens the door. And both of them are shocked, you know. They're looking at each other, and then they start hugging and crying. And it comes out that this Yid was hiding, was in this place since the Holocaust. He thought that the entire Jewish people were wiped out. He didn't have newspapers, radios, Talmud. He lived with a little piece of land, and he was working there, and the Goyim left him alone. He didn't know anything. This is a true story. And he had his little thing, and he was doing his little work, and he thought that he got out because he was hot, whatever, and he didn't know. He thought that all the Jews were destroyed. And the fellow's talking to him, and turns out that this Yid was a Trisker Chassid. It was a Trisker Chassid. And he comes in there, and the Breslov comes in, he has no family, everybody's killed a long time ago. He has there a few Mishnayos, whatever, a couple of Sfarim. And the Breslov asked him, what are you doing over here? How do you... So the Yid told him, I thought, because he said, that's what people told me. The people there were not nice. And they told him that Hitler wiped out all the Jews, and that all the Jews were killed. There's no one left. So he said that I thought that I was the only Jew, and that I have to learn in Davin because I'm the only one that's left. So all the years he works a little bit just to have what to eat, and every minute of the day and night that he's free, he's learning and saying Tillim, because he says, I don't know why Hashem did that. That's not my Inyan. I just, for whatever reason, it's only me, so I have to do my job. And this Yid felt that he was holding up the whole world. Damn it, says he was. He's holding up the whole world like this. And he wanted to bring him. He says, so this Yid, the rest of us screaming at him, what the world, Ruach Hashem, we have in Yerushalayim. We have all over, we have Yidden. And he wanted to bring him to Yerushalayim. And the Yid said he can't, whatever. He was very old, and he died a short time. I read this a story. It's a true story. And the Yid died. The fellow told about the whole night. See such a thing. But the Emes, he's right. He was doing his thing. So now we think if it was something like that, we'd have Sveikis and Amunah, no? We wouldn't be able to do that. How do you... That's my achrayus. He didn't know for what reason, but he says, I guess it was left up to me. I don't know why, I'm just a pasha d'yid, but it was left up to me, so I got to do my job. I'm on guard. I'm on guard. 24 hours, on guard. That's how he saw himself. Ve'ech lo yislahiv lev ha'adam. Rabbi Chaim says, how is it possible that the heart of a person, of a yid, shouldn't catch on fire? When you think about this deeply, what we're saying here, the people of Amos of Afachan, how can you not be filled with terror and with fear? Not to be negligent in the study of Torah. If you think inside of your heart, but you have to, both your head and your heart. Could be right now. We don't think like that. It may be right now. No one's learning. And it could be that for me will come out of churban to all the worlds. Nobody thinks like that because it's, you know, but still the weakening and the dimming of the world. The reward of Torah. Now he's not talking about points. He's talking about the reward that comes as a result of one's learning. That not that you feel that reward, but the reward is the knowledge, knowing, and believing that you're an Eved Hashem that's upholding the universe. Ein laharich. Who could measure such a thing? Shul noitel schar kulam. It's like you get the schar reward for the whole world. You get schar. You're holding up the whole world. Every single malach, every blade of grass gives you a big yeshakayach. Big yeshakayach. You're holding up the whole world. Achshu ashekiyam behemid berev koyches kol oilemus ata. All oilemus you're holding up. Baka goyin zeh amur abisenzachan levrocha b'mishneh shekol echad miyisal chayav lemer b'shvili nivra ha'oilem. That's what it says. That's what the Mishnah says, that every Jew has to say, the world was created for my sake. That doesn't mean to make you into a conceited person. Bishvili meaning that one, I have to always think in such a way that my learning, my kima mitzvahs, my limudat Torah, is kedai kolam kula, is kedai, that the whole universe is bishvili nivra olam, can exist through me. Va'af. Rabbi Chaim says that even though there are many other aveiros in the Torah, not just bittul Torah, there are other aveiros, and certainly other aveiros cause damage. But there's a limit to the damage that other aveiros cause. There's a limit. In other words, beyond that place of korban and damage, there is a level of creation that's lo yigur chara, that nothing can that is not damaged by our aveiros. It's not damaged. It's higher than the korban. But he says avon bittul tayru hi ha'ila kulam. But bittul tayru, as we see from all of what we've been learning, that bittul tayru is the worst of all. Bittul Torah is the worst of all. It's the withholding of life. More than any other aveira. Bittul Torah is nogei l'kiyam kol ha'olamis. The Pizetzner would not disagree with one word that we just learned. This is all from Chazal. And he wouldn't disagree with the word. And the Pizetzner knew, like all the tzaddikim knew, where Rabbi Chaim is coming from, which is the Chazal and the Zohar Kaddish, and they were coming from the same place. What the Rebbe was talking about, remember, many, many, many years after Reb Chaim, what the Rebbe was talking about is, what can we do as a kehila, as a people, to encourage the growth of particularly gifted individuals to become the leaders of the next generation, G'doy l'Chassidus, G'doy l'Torah. The ultimate objective of the Rebbe was to illuminate the lives of all of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't to have a separation that we're going to have everybody just a lot of people are not learning and a few people are learning. The objective was that through these great young men, that they're going to have a tremendous impact and influence on the kehilas and on the limud Torah, as it was in the earlier days, which the Rebbe was talking about, we learned last week, that these young men would go back to Shtetlach and go to other places, and they themselves would begin to set those places on fire. But as far as what you said before about the entirety, not just limud Torah, it's true. And this is one of the nekudas of the machloikis between Chassidus and Reb Chaim, the world of Reb Chaim Volozhin, is that in Chassidus we will see that tefillah, davening, and kiyum mitzvahs, but especially tefillah, is almost on par and sometimes appears to be higher than limud Torah. It's true. And dveikus b'Hashem that comes through tefillah. In the Tanya itself, it's very hard to figure out, because there are places in Tanya where it sounds exactly like this. Those of you who have learned Tanya know that the Tanya sounds exactly like this. And Torah is Oyla al Kulana, and without Torah, you're not on the program. There are other places in Tanya where it's Tefillah and Stalker and Mice and Tigers. And much work has been done to try to understand in the writings of the Baal HaTanya and the other tzaddikim how this works. So it's true that one of the chidushim in Chassidus, and the one that caused the greatest hisnagdus, coming from the two tzaddikim of the hisnagdus, not the troublemakers, but the tzaddikim like Reb Chaim Volozhin, tzaddikim and kedoshim, was this sense that the chassidim were creating the impression that there's an alternative way of upholding all of Yiddishkeit and all the worlds, and that's through davening and dveikus and so on. This was seen as the most dangerous view of Hasidus, and this was on the kuda that brought to, in those years, to a separation, which is not shaykh anymore, because we're all trying to learn and daven in that parsha anymore. But In the pnimius, yesh v'yesh, there is room to see this way and that way. At the end of the day, it's, you know, either Dovr HaMelech or Moshe Rabbeinu. And that machlokes that I've spoken many times in the Gemara, where the Gemara asks, Lemi Ivra Alma, for whose sake was the world created? Was it created for Moshe Rabbeinu? Rashi says, She'osim l'kabos HaTorah, that's going to receive the Torah, that's the way of Torah. Or the other view of Rav says, Shabbat Shmuel, Rav says, it was created for David HaMelech. Rashi says, "She'asid lo mashir shetesh brachos." It's going to sing songs to Hashem. So the machlokes is what is the shurish of a Jew's avodah that holds up the whole world. David HaMelech was a great talmid chacham, but David HaMelech's the ikur is tefillah, shir, Moshe Rabbeinu the ikur is Torah. The end, however, Rabbi Yochanan says that neither of them are correct. L'mi iver alma, he says, is for Mashiach Zakeinu, and Mashiach Zakeinu means the integration of those two, Torah and Tefillah. Therefore, we go back and forth. Just like now we're coming to Chanukah, Mitzvah Hashem. Everybody knows, each one of us feels right now, that Chanukah is absolutely our favorite Yom Tov, right? But when it comes to Purim, every single one of us is going to feel Chanukah can't compare to Purim. Purim is absolutely the best Yom Tov. So the tzaddikim, when they would talk about Torah, so and then they were talking about tefillah, and it's Moshe Rabbeinu David HaMelech. In the end, it's possible for one heart and one mind to know and to feel that these two are absolutely the best there is. And absolutely everything is from these two. That's what we're waiting for. And there'll no longer be this back and forth, because it is confusing. We don't know. It's hard to understand. But that's what's coming up. Stay tuned. Okay. Good Shabbos.